here and I'll be ready. Hi, my name's Erin. My husband and I have been attending Coast Hills for about 5 years now. And we have three little kids you probably saw running around this morning. Thank you again for the privilege of being able to serve like this morning. I was sitting around the table with the preaching team a week ago Tuesday, Peter and Kevin and Paul Wortman, and struck me again how much of a rookie I am compared to those guys, preaching probably hundreds of sermons and probably at less than 10 in my lifetime. So so you're brave to let me to continue to do this, so thank you. We find ourselves at the first week of Advent. I love this season. Generally, my husband is elbowing me as I woohoo a couple of times whenever the word's said. The starting again, the new years of the church, right? When we get to start again, storying through the life of Jesus through the year together. In our house, it's when the calendar changes. So my girls know Advent starts today because our calendar begins today again. We've already mentioned this morning that today's theme is one of hope. I loved the passage that Kevin and Elliot read for us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And my hope is this morning that as we journey together, that this again would be the pictures that we get of this God that we serve. And over the next couple of weeks, we get to journey through peace and love and joy, all in waiting, in getting ready to celebrate again the birth of our Jesus, of our Emmanuel, God with us. You may have noticed this piece of art this morning. I brought our print from home. It's printed on the back of your program if you want a bit of a closer look. Over the next 4 weeks, as we explore these themes of Advent, each week we're going to be adding a piece of artwork to our collection, aiding us visually as we journey through this season. The art piece today is one that's very near and dear to my heart. I stumbled upon it about 3 years ago. It's a drawing done actually by a young nun. She's probably younger than I am. Her name's Sister Grace Remington. She's a part of the Sisters of the Mississippi Abbey in Iowa. They're a tapestry order that, as part of their order, they have to support themselves through physical labor of some sort. And what this tapestry does to support themselves is actually make homemade caramels. So if you still are doing your Christmas shopping and you need some homemade caramels, you should check them out. They're quite renowned in Iowa. Sister Grace drew this image when she was struggling to understand the story of Mary and to connect to it in some way. Later, the order decided to use it as the image on their Christmas card, and that's how I stumbled upon it. Somebody who had been blogging about it. And there was a poem written to accompany it in the Christmas card, and this is what the poem says. O Eve, my mother, my daughter, life-giving Eve, do not be ashamed, do not grieve. The former things have passed away. Our God has brought us a new day. See, I'm with child, through whom all will be reconciled. O Eve, my sister, my friend, we will rejoice together forever, life without end. Mary, in the midst of her complications and in the midst of her own mess, revealing, communicating, comforting Eve, speaking hope to her through the revelation of the baby in her belly. The sermon this morning that I'm going to preach for you is going to be one of story. one perspective or vantage point on a portion of these two women's lives, giving us an opportunity to watch their interaction with hope and with our Jesus in the midst of their circumstances. We'll start with Eve, and we'll end with Mary, and then Kevin's going to come and give us a bit of a benediction on the things that he's been reflecting as he and I have talked and journeyed this week with these two women. Thanks for being willing to explore in this way this morning. I recognize that narrative is not something that we do all the time. It's not the way we generally listen to God's word. So thank you for entering in. This is new space for me as well. So let's get started. We're going to start our waiting and watching for Jesus in the garden with a woman, a soon-to-be mother, then grandmother. She's young, and she's vibrant, and she's deeply loved, and no one in the world is like her. But on this day, unlike any other day, she's afraid, and she's unsure, and panicked, and desperately trying to ensure that no one can see her, the real her, naked, in shock, feeling unsafe and ashamed, hiding behind bushes and behind leaves, waiting, perhaps leaning her back up against a tree, willing herself to disappear into the folds of its bark, and hoping that what happened over the last few hours was only a dream. It can't be real. I didn't do it, did I? That can't be what he was talking about. This can't be what it's going to feel like forever. Leaves rustle and there are footsteps coming closer. And she hears her name being called. Pressing further into the tree, she covers her face with her hands. Maybe I won't be found. Maybe I'll just wake up and this will all be over. Just a bad dream. A hand touches her shoulder and the voice that she's known all her life searches her, concerned and patient. She gestures to her naked body, desperately holding the fig leaves over her chest to try and keep them from falling. The serpent lied to me, and I ate the fruit. And their tears come, drenching their faces and running down their necks, weeping, noses running, and deep agonizing groans. How could I have done it? How could I have done it? And the tears and the sobs, they just keep coming. Perhaps exhaustion eventually wins, and she sleeps, curled up in a ball at the base of the tree. Eve, the voice whispers, brushing the hair away from her eyes and handing her a sip of water. A fire crackles close by. It's time to talk now. She draws herself up and then moves closer to the fire, warming her naked skin. I will crush him, the voice says. He will bite me. He's a snake. He steals and he kills and he destroys. He will strike me, but I will crush him. You and he will never be okay. He's against you forever. He's the enemy, a liar, the lowest of the low, and he'll stoop low to get at you. But I promise you, I will crush him. Eve, having children is painful. It hurts giving birth to them, letting them walk on their own, and make choices on their own. You'll give everything for them. You'll give everything to them. And it will hurt. Birthing them into the world hurts. And there's no guarantees. Eve. Relationships are hard. You and Adam, you'll always ache to be close to him in every way. It's tough. You're his and he is yours. You're one, and at the same time, you're totally separate. It's tough. You will fight, and you will have to fight to stay together. But it'll never be enough. It's never going to be enough to fill that void, that need that you have. This desire to be one with him that he's never going to be able to fill. Lord, I'm so sorry. I know you are, Eve. Lord, you promised me that you'll crush him. Yes, Eve, I promise. Lord, having children really hurts. Yes, Eve, and you love them anyway. And she sits, shoulders slumped, head down, silent, speechless, and shivering. Daughter, you're cold. I will make you some clothing. And Eve journeys, leaving the only home she's ever known, shoulders hanging, wondering, how could I have done it? How could I have eaten that fruit? How long, O Lord, how long until you deliver us? Birthing her sons, bleeding for them, brow furrowed, how could I have done it? How long, O Lord, how long? When the older brother Cain murders the younger brother Abel, and the Lord has to come to Cain, telling him that the blood of his brother cries out to him, Eve in agony, how could I have done it? How long, O Lord, how long? And when death comes, how long, O Lord, how long? And she waits and she hopes. As I said earlier, Corey and I came to Coast Hills about 5 years ago. Our daughters were just about to turn two, and we were still in the intensity of having twins. A year later, our girls were three. It was early December. We had just gotten possession of our home, and Christmas was coming. Corey's mom made us this Christmas sign. My sister-in-law, Allison, who's here, found it on Pinterest and loved it. So Carol made one for each of us girls that year, which is fabulous. I love it. For those of you who are listening, the sign, it's a Christmas tree. It's wooden, and it says, "For unto us a child is born." In February, we found ourselves back at Corey's parents' place, standing in their kitchen saying, "Well, we may need to give you your sign back. It was too prophetic for us. We were pregnant, and we were surprised, and we were shocked. We were just feeling like we were coming up for air after the early days of intensity of two infant daughters. Happy, and thinking, oh man, we have to start collecting baby things again. We had gotten rid of everything. A week later, I was standing in my kitchen at the stove, working on supper. The girls were playing upstairs, and Corey was out of the house working. And it started. I was leaking something. I ran to the bathroom, and I was bleeding. Elise and Aliana burst in on me, as three-year-olds have a tendency to do. And I tried to put their mind at ease, as my hands and my clothes were completely covered in blood. And I was obviously not okay. My father-in-law went to get Corey, and we called the family. We were losing this baby. A doctor's visit led to blood tests every other day for weeks, numerous ultrasounds, a trip to emergency. I was hemorrhaging, probably had miscarried, and there was still a flicker of a heartbeat. And I was told I was still not out of the woods. For weeks that led into months, I never knew from day to day whether I would see blood or not and how much. And if at the next ultrasound, if this little one would still be there. And I was mad. I wanted this baby. I was really hoping for a boy. And I was angry. I was angry that he would mess with my baby, and I was angry that he would mess with me. And I didn't want to look at him, my Jesus. I didn't want to look at him in the face because I knew he would tell me. I was sure he would tell me if I was going to lose this child, and I didn't want to know. And in the midst of all this, all my anger and distrust and questioning and even a downright wrong perspective, blaming Jesus for what was happening to me and my baby, this church and those who knew what was happening held out hope for me and for us. They held on to hope when I couldn't because I was still seeing blood. And Jace, our little blonde-haired boy who you saw come up here this morning, is that flicker of heartbeat that this church held out hope for me when I couldn't. There's a rustle at the door, and some dust kicks up. The shape of a young woman appears in the doorway. Cousin Elizabeth, are you in there? Elizabeth, now well along in years, an old woman, stirs from her chair where she started to doze, tired from age and the weariness of her body and her growing belly, now obviously protruding under her long tunic. She's 6 months pregnant. Mary's eyes drift down to Elizabeth's belly, and a flash of relief spreads across her face. It's true. And before she can open her mouth to congratulate this dear relative of hers, who's waited so long for the opportunity to carry a child, her thoughts are interrupted, and Elizabeth is taking a step towards her, arms open to embrace her, declaring, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your voice reached my ears, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And the women embrace, overwhelmed with joy at being together, being understood and surprised by these children that they're carrying. As Elizabeth's energy starts to wane, Mary helps her back into her chair, elevating her feet on a stool nearby, and goes for water, weary after her own journey, and Elizabeth thirsty in pregnancy and from the exertion of the last few minutes. As nightfall comes, the women sit by the firelight, and Elizabeth looks over at this young girl, a child really, and gently breaks the silence, asking, "Child, was it Gabriel?" "Yes," Mary replies, "I was home alone. Mom and Dad had gone back to the field. He was just all of a sudden in the room, bright and huge." "What did he say, child?" He told me that I didn't have to be afraid, that God was pleased with me, that I'm going to have a baby, a boy, and God wants me to name him Jesus. He said he would be called Son of the Most High, that he's going to have David's throne and reign over the house of Jacob, and that his kingdom's never going to end. And Mary, what did you say? I asked him how this would happen because I'm a virgin. I mean, I just came into womanhood. I haven't slept with a man. Joseph and I are engaged, but we haven't. Gabriel said the Holy Spirit would come to me, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow me, and the child would be the Son of God. He told me about you, that you were 6 months pregnant, and that nothing is impossible for God. And what did you say? I told him I'm the Lord's servant, and it can be with me as he said. Then he left, and I packed up, and I told Mom and Dad I was coming to see you, that I heard you were 6 months pregnant, that I was going to help you. I just needed to see you. Mary, do you know what this means? I think so. Jesus is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for and hoping for, isn't he, Elizabeth? Yes, child, I think you're right. And they sit in silence, the crackling of the fire between them. Elizabeth, I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I'm full of joy in God my Savior. He's remembered me and he's thought of me, a peasant girl. Elizabeth, future generations are going to call me blessed, aren't they? I mean, the Mighty One, he's doing something great. He's showing his mercy. He's doing strong and mighty things. He's not using the proud to do it or the rulers who are sitting on the throne. He's using the humble and he's using the lowly. Elizabeth, I think he's wanting to fill our hunger. I mean, we've been so hungry for him, for his presence. He's remembering his promises to Abraham and all of our people, isn't he? Yes, child, I think you're right. And the silence and the crackling fire burns on. Elizabeth, no one's going to believe me. Mom and Dad, they're going to think it was Joseph. And Joseph, who knows what he's going to think? And I mean, I'm from Nazareth, a nothing town, and a baby born to me, king? Yes, child, you are right. This is not going to be easy. But child, God is with you. And not just in your mind and in your heart, but with you in your womb. He's growing in you, Emmanuel, God with you. And child, remember your grandmothers. Remember God's faithfulness to them, to Eve and to Sarah and to Tamar and Rachel and Rahab and Ruth and Hannah and Bathsheba and me. I never thought I'd see the day where I'd carry a child, let alone a son, the one to come before your son, the Messiah. I mean, God was with them. Their hope was in him, even as they waited in terrible circumstances, waiting for the birth and the birthing of these children of promise, not not just a piece of a man and a piece of a woman coming together, but promise of God actually intervening, like he's intervening here with you. Only you, dear one, get to carry the one who we've all been hoping for, all been waiting for, to rescue us, to free us, to crush the enemy. Yes, but Elizabeth, how will I really know? Oh, child, you'll know. The nausea and the exhaustion will start soon enough. You'll stay with me until that subsides. My baby John will almost be here by then. And Mary, Jesus will start to kick you. Come here, put your hand on my stomach. Feel that? That's my baby. That's John. He's going to prepare the way for your Jesus. And your Jesus, who kicks you, he is actually Emmanuel, God with you. You're not alone in this. Never alone in this. And Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months, together with her in the final days of her pregnancy, learning and watching. And Elizabeth holds Mary's hair as she retches, whispering, "He's with you. He's with you. He's with you." And gently moves the hair away from her face as she sleeps in the exhaustion of the first trimester, whispering to her, "He's with you. He's with you. He's with you." Watching closely and praying over her, "Oh God, be with her. This is not going to be easy." And it's not. She returns home. The small bump below her tunic spikes anger and disappointment in her parents' eyes. Joseph is called and blamed and retreats in silence. The whole town is talking. And Jesus kicks, "I am with you. I am with you. I am with you." And Mary hopes. And Mary remembers. And Mary waits. So we hope, and we'll remember, and we'll wait, knowing again, Emmanuel, God with us.
Thank you, Aaron, for giving us that picture and speaking to us about how Jesus is holding on to hope for us. And as a church, we're able to hold on to hope for you. And I wonder if that's, as we discover and follow this Jesus who enters the world, Emmanuel, God with us, I wonder if that is our role as a church, to continue to walk with people and to hold on to hope for them when they can't. And yet I came across this understanding that as we wait during this Advent season for Jesus to come, hasn't God been waiting for us? Isn't Jesus actually waiting for us? Advent is a season for waiting, for the coming of Jesus of our Lord. But long ago, he already came. So what are we waiting for then? For his real coming to you and to me, to our world. And yet it demands a response from us. For those of you that can, for those of you that have walked with Jesus for a long time, this is our response to say, Jesus, yes, Maranatha, here you are, come. For those of you that maybe have not made that commitment, he might be saying, I'm waiting here for you. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand promises. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, to turning back to who God is. This might be for you. And today might be a day that you might say, I choose Jesus today in the midst of it. And if this isn't your day, then we as a community will continue to patiently hold on to hope for you and with you as this newness of God births in you, that we might be all the people that are living this kingdom of understanding who Jesus is in our lives. Would we be people of hope? I'll do my benediction now before the band plays, but I want us to recognize this. The Lord is waiting for our active preparing of his love and his justice among people. But he will do it in us and with us. Let the Lord come. May Jesus be a part of our lives with a blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us go with one another in the way of the Lord, holding on to hope. Amen.